What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero, because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, December 12th, 2018, middle of the weekday, hump day, starting that long, slow glide down to Pow on a Friday, and another weekend of whatever insanity is going to be happening. And there does seem to be a lot of that going on now. We have a lot to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments and questions. So let's get right on into it. Turning over to France here, the Yellow Vests movement continues to grow. It's now seen basically as an uprising against the neoliberal king, Macron, and that gasoline tax was simply the last straw in a long series of measures that clearly favored the rich at the expense of the majority of the population. And that is why the movement achieved almost instant popularity and support. And now their list of demands are expanding. The Yellow Vests are calling for a Frexit. They want France out of the EU, higher wages, lower taxes, easier university requirements, better pensions. They want Macron himself to resign. And the Yellow Vest protests are spreading. Right now, they have a 70% approval from the citizens of France. And at this point, it's worth going back to that old quote by JFK, when peaceful revolution becomes impossible, violent revolution becomes inevitable. And that seems to be the point that we're seeing in France, also the Netherlands, Belgium. These things are starting to pop up all over the place. Reminds me of that line from Young Frankenstein, when the villagers have the torches and everything and they're getting ready to go on a rampage, and the chief of police comes on out and he says, "A riot is an ugly thing, and it's just about time that we had one." So that's kind of where we are. Apparently, the Yellow Vest protests have spread to the farmers, and there's an interesting Twitter animation of farmers slinging horse poo at the cops. So good for them. What can I tell you here? So a lot of people now are looking at that shooting that took place at the Christmas market and saying, oh, come on now. The timing is just too cute. And everybody is suspicious. The shooting takes the focus of attention away from the grievances of the people, the Yellow Vests. It takes the focus of attention away from Macron and what he's been mismanaging the country. It allows Macron to restrict public gatherings in that part of France. And of course, it plays the identity politics cards, which benefits the rulers. So who benefits from this shooting? And apparently, so many people have come to this conclusion that the corporate media felt compelled to respond. Over at the Daily Mail, they're talking about well-played Macron, conspiracy theorists make incredible accusation that French government orchestrated Strasbourg shooting to distract from the Yellow Vest protest. And if you go through this whole article, they're just, it's just what an extraordinary, just try to ridicule the whole thing. There's nothing incredible about it at all. Governments will stage events to distract the media. Like when Clinton hauled off and launched cruise missiles into Sudan and other countries, when Monica Lewinsky was coming out of her testimony. Remember when the Marine barracks in Beirut got bombed? It was a huge embarrassment. 24 hours later, they invaded Grenada. Governments do this kind of thing all the time. There's nothing incredible about this. And it really is very suspicious, okay, because this suspect, who, by the way, is still at large, he got away, Sheriff Shekat, who shouted Allah Akbar or Aloha Snakbar or something and opened fire on the crowds, was known to security services, was known to be part of Islamist networks in Strasbourg. He had a lengthy criminal record, which included 27 convictions and lengthy prison sentences in Germany, France, and Switzerland. It's a lot of work for a 29-year-old guy here. And the French Secret Service had been warned that this guy became radicalized in prison, and they put him on a designated threat to the state watch list. But he just waltzed on into the Christmas market. And, of course, they raided his home. They found he had all kinds of guns and even grenades. And they missed this one. Or they went to this guy and said, we need a convenient terrorist. If you'll go do this for us, we'll sneak out of the country. We'll send you off somewhere to the South Seas with enough money to live comfortably for the rest of your life. But the timing just was too cute. There's no getting away from it. Everybody is suspicious of this. All right, we're going to do a shout-out now to our honor affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. So what exactly is going on in France? Well, it's clearly a populist uprising. And what makes a populist uprising dangerous for the government is people aren't playing by the rules. They're not aligning with one of the pre-designated parties that are kept constantly quarreling with each other. Basically, populism is a revolt of the people against the political elite as a whole. And they don't care if there's a distinction, whether it's left or right wing. It's a systemic problem, what's going on there in France. So, anyway, meanwhile, as you know, Macron's attempt to buy off the yellow vests with instant budget handouts basically threatens to blast through the Eurozone's fiscal limits. And that would damage his credibility as the champion of the European project and the guardian of French public accounts. Basically, all of these short-term measures he announced in this theatrical mea culpa on Monday leaves Macron's putative grand bargain with Germany in tatters. It's going to blow the French budget because they have too many obligations. You know, governments, they get money, they spend it immediately. It's not like they had it in a savings account that they, you know, could dip into to pay for all of these things. Apparently, the French pay a 380% tax on gasoline already. That was before the carbon tax to fight human-caused global warming. So, anyway, over at Time Magazine, they've announced their person of the year. It's Jamal Khashoggi, the assassinated Washington Post journalist. And already I'm seeing all kinds of snide little posts about, he's another crisis actor and we're tired of looking at him, which I imagine is probably being tweeted from some of the other people who were on that nominee list that are feeling left out, that they wanted to be person of the year. Well, sure, you're doing good company, like Hitler and Stalin and Al Gore. Turning on over to the Huawei situation, the CFO, Meng Wanzhou, has been granted bail. They posted the bond. She has to submit to 24/7 surveillance with an electronic ankle monitor while she awaits extradition hearings. Now, Meng's next court date has been set for February 6th. Now, here's where the story gets a little interesting, and Fox News was just reporting on this a few minutes ago. Donald Trump has said he would consider intervening in the case of Meng Wanzhou and setting her free as part of a broader trade deal to ease rising tensions with China amid national security concerns. So, in one context, this makes the arrest of Meng as a plain old-fashioned kidnapping and extortion for ransom. In another context, Trump needs to be very, very careful because this puts him on the edge of what could be considered an impeachable offense of obstruction of justice. Now, the U.S. is concerned about these Huawei phones being used for espionage and spying. And the reason they're suspicious is because the U.S. has been doing it all along. We're always seeing the U.S. government trying to weaken encryption or bypass encryption. They want the right to peek in at everybody else, but they don't want any other companies or countries to be able to do it. You know, it's all, you know, American exceptionalism. We can do it. You can't. As you may or may not know, encryption technology is under heavy control here in the United States. The publication of encryption studies, research, is subject to pre-publication censorship by the U.S. government. Years ago, there was a big stink when cell phones started to be encrypted so that people with scanners couldn't eavesdrop on your conversations. The first cell phones came out with a 16-bit encryption key. And then it was revealed that the high order 8 bits were always set to zero. So they could advertise 16-bit, but it was really only 8-bit, which made brute force cracking of the code very easy with portable electronic devices that the police and nefarious agencies could use here. And apparently when Lotus Notes wanted to sell their products abroad, the NSA leaned on it to weaken their encryption, to go from a 64-bit key to a 32-bit key. Back then, they thought a 64-bit key was virtually unbreakable. But the technology has advanced. Meanwhile, there's this counter-arrest, if you will. Canadian citizen Michael Kovrig from the International Crisis Group was detained by China's state security officials in Beijing. And apparently, China is saying that if Michael Kovrig was performing relevant activities for the group in China without being listed, he was in violation of China's foreign NGO law. Now, the U.S. program director of the crisis group, Stephen Pomper, has called for the immediate release of the company's senior advisor. I don't think China's going to respond to that. What are we going to have, a prisoner swap? You know, Meng for this other guy? It's amazing here. All righty, let's go into the war zones. There are so many of them. By the way, we are waiting for the announcement on Theresa May's vote of no confidence. Apparently, you know, they had the vote earlier today, and then they counted it, and then they were going to announce it, and apparently Theresa May is getting ready to speak, so maybe she won. I'll have to look at that the next commercial break. Anyway, over in Syria, Russia and the Syrian forces have done a good job. They have now retaken 96.5% of Syria. Apparently, 1,411 residential areas have been liberated from ISIS since the start of the Russian military operation in Syria. And this is according to the head of the Russian National Defense Management Center, Colonel General Mikhail Mezentsi, during a joint meeting of the interdepartmental coordination of the Russian and Syrian headquarters for the return of refugees. So they really have all but one there, but the U.S. doesn't want to give up. They don't want to leave. They want Syria as a launching platform for more wars. They don't want to admit they lost is really what it comes down to. So, the Kremlin has announced they are willing to release all U.S. and Russia communications regarding the election meddling charge if Trump will agree to it. And they're basically saying it's time for Washington, if they really seriously think this happened, they have to start cooperating. And Russia says there has never really been cooperation. Washington's cooperation in probing the DNC hacking attacks was limited. And Moscow only received a number of messages containing technical information about the hack. Russian cybersecurity experts examined it even before the inauguration and said an exhaustive response was sent to the American side. But the U.S. never came on back from that. Now, we had a caller about this yesterday where Mike Pompeo has basically went off ragging on Russia for sending two nuclear-capable bombers to Venezuela and was out there saying, you know, what a waste to fly these planes 6,000 miles and, you know, you're just squandering public funds and squelching liberty and freedom while the people suffer. He's laying it on with a trowel there. Well, the Kremlin says the flights are training exercises and part of Russia's right to make regular flights over international waters, which is absolutely correct. He went on to say Pompeo's statement is utterly inappropriate comment, very undiplomatic. And Peskov also mocked Pompeo's reference to squandering public funds by taking note of the United States maintaining by far the world's largest military budget, noting that just half of the U.S. military budget would be enough to support all of Africa. And as the caller mentioned yesterday, the U.S. is flying all over the place. You know, we've been hearing the military aviation out this window here all morning. They're out there turning and burning. You get to pay for it here. Now, I predicted that this was going to happen when Trump reversed Obama's normalization of relations with Cuba, which was one of the few things Obama did I agreed with. Apparently, Moscow is gearing up to establish a long-term military presence in Latin America. And apparently, the current mission of those two bombers to Venezuela is part of the plan. So, Russia is now starting to basically play the U.S. game back against itself. Russia says it is the right idea to include Venezuela in long-range aviation missions. And in point of fact, Russian and Venezuelan pilots are already conducting training flights with these aircraft. Okay. Story coming on out from Global Research, California. The Trump regime is clearly arming and training Ukrainian forces for war. The latest forecast is it'll start on December 14th. And the question is being asked, should Donbass join Russia? And basically, a state of war initiated by Ukraine exists between the U.S.-installed puppet regime and the Donbass freedom fighters, who are trying to break away from Kiev because they want democratic governance. They want to break free the way Crimea did. So if this U.S.-orchestrated war continues, Washington and Kiev willfully undermined Minsk 1 and 2 conflict resolution, clearly indicating they want war, not peace, right on Russia's border. Trump has nominated U.S. Army General Mark Milley for chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. This is a guy who previously said Russia is the number one threat to the United States. Now, he's seen actual combat. That's a good thing. But he's had a lot of deployments around the world. But basically, he's out there saying Russia is the number one threat. Okay. Now, here's an interesting development, and I'm really curious as how they pulled it off, knowing how difficult the concept is. Apparently, Russia is getting ready to track future U.S. missiles with an upgraded over-the-horizon radar. And they call it Container. And these are over-the-horizon radar stations along all of the Russian borders, which means that military assets that are coming in, like hypersonic, will be detected much more quickly. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials. I'm going to check in on Theresa May. No confidence vote. We'll be right back.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you. And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And yes, Theresa May is still Prime Minister of Great Britain. She survived the no confidence vote. And so she's getting ready to make a victory speech here. I don't think she's out of the woods. There's still calls for her to simply resign. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later, about some of the things she's promised to do, which whether she'll keep those promises or not. Who really knows? Because, after all, she's a politician. Okay. Now, getting on back here. Apparently, Russia is getting ready to deploy these over-the-horizon radar stations along their borders in order to be able to detect incoming threats from much further out. It's a very smart thing to do, because in the event of a shooting war, those satellites that are up there to detect launches, those are going to be the first things to go. That'll be the opening salvo in World War III for real, is war in low Earth orbit to get those satellites killed. And so we'll be back to a two-dimensional map, if you will. And obviously radar is going to work. Here's the problem. How do they get it to work? Because I know a little bit about radar, and I know there have been efforts to create over-the-horizon radars here in the United States that have not worked out all that well. So this may indicate that once again, Russia's electronic warfare is way ahead of ours here. Getting on down to Israel, sometimes you have to wonder if they really intentionally want to annoy people. Apparently, chair of the Defense Committee of the Israeli Parliament, Avi Dichter, has called for the killing of all the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. And he was responding to the peaceful protests of the Great March of Return. And he came on out and he said the Israeli army has enough bullets for every Palestinian. And basically said, they're all just Nazis anyhow. You're projecting, Avi. You're projecting. Netanyahu was out there, I guess, early campaigning. You know, hating the Palestinians is good politics in Israel. He's out there saying that no settler will be uprooted while he's prime minister. And went on to say, our enemies want to uproot us from here, but as long as I'm the prime minister of Israel, not a single Jew will be uprooted from his home. And then he went on to pledge to build more and more settlements and settlement units, all of which, of course, are illegal under international law. So, and apparently, Israel is planning on building West Bank settlements, despite the pressure coming in from the International Criminal Court, you know, which is trying to remind Israel what they're doing is illegal under international law. And Netanyahu is standing up there and saying, we are above international law. You think you're going to come down here to Israel and throw the handcuffs on me? I don't think so. Just openly defiant. Israel's a rogue nation here. Israeli Minister Ofir Akunis toured the Israeli settlements, declared his support for the annexation of the so-called Gush Etzion settlement block and Judea and Samaria, the West Bank in general, saying, we are here to win. I think they're getting ready to annex the West Bank. There's a story coming out of Al Jazeera. Apparently, there is a growing awareness and a concern that Israel's undercover forces are impersonating Gaza aid workers to go into the Gaza Strip and carry out assassinations of Hamas. And apparently, last November, Hamas published photos of individuals it said were involved. Images that Israel's military censor immediately subjected to a publication ban. So go ahead, act like you're guilty already. Israel forces storm a Palestinian town and confiscate the closed-circuit TV footage. Apparently, 40 armored military vehicles stormed the occupied West Bank cities of Ramallah and Al-Bira, raiding a number of shops around the headquarters of the Palestinian Financial Ministry and confiscating the closed-circuit TV footage from the area. Apparently, in the process, they stormed the Financial Ministry itself. So what had happened at that finance ministry that Israel doesn't want to get on out? Because that's a major, major effort to go on in there with all those armored vehicles and just say, we're going to take all the TV cameras. We're just going to grab those. All right, we're going to take another commercial break. We will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I said again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about incidents going on down in Israel and Palestine. And apparently another group of Israeli Jewish settlers stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque and performed religious rituals in its courtyards. Now that, of course, is intended to provoke. And they were, of course, protected by Israeli occupation forces. Now they're starting to call for the demolishment of Al-Aqsa. Another group of settlers organized a night demonstration in Jerusalem's Old City to mark the Jewish festival of Hanukkah. And they chanted anti-Muslim and anti-Palestinian slogans. Again, called for the demolition of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and for more settlers to be allowed into Islam's third holiest site. Well, I'm sure that probably will happen as soon as Muslims are allowed to go into the synagogues. Israel has announced they're going to build an embassy complex in occupied Jerusalem. This is roughly a year after Donald Trump announced his plans to relocate the American embassy to the city. And the complex is going to be built on a 25-acre plot of land in East Talpiot, which is a southern neighborhood of Jerusalem. And following the Nakba of 1948, East Talpiot became part of a no-man's land next to the 1949 armistice line, sometimes known as the Green Line, observed by Israel and Jordan. Now, during the Six-Day War of 1967, Israel occupied the neighborhood, establishing an illegal settlement there in 1973. The plan to build the complex in East Talpiot is therefore in contravention of international law, as if Israel ever cared about international law. Any country that chooses to move its embassy into that complex upon its completion would also be in violation of international law. Now, here, I think, is a very revealing story. As you know, Israel, which is flush with all kinds of money Congress takes from you and gives to them, spends a lot of that money coming to the United States to basically invite various people for a all-expenses-paid trip to Israel for indoctrination. And they've been doing it with a lot of police departments, although that is starting to end as the police departments realize the optics are bad on that. But apparently among young American Jews, there's been a decline in the number of people who accept these trips. It's a major, major downturn. Since its establishment in 1999, the Birthright Organization has brought about 500,000 young Jews from around the world on free trips to Israel. But it's starting to fall off. And basically, this seems to reflect the well-documented fact that young American Jews are growing increasingly disengaged from Israel. They have less and less interest in visiting the country, even when the trips are free. Well, it may be less a lack of interest and more a desire to not be identified with Israel when you consider how Israel's behaving. Israel's brand is very bad right now. And maybe they just want to just, I'm just going to live my life. Israel can do what Israel wants to do. I'm going to live my life here. Apparently, an Israeli military delegation is going to Moscow for consultations, and their agenda is going to be to proclaim that Israel has a right and an obligation to oppose the presence of Iranian forces and Hezbollah in Syria. This was announced by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. In point of fact, no, Israel does not have a right to oppose anybody inside Syria. If Syria's government doesn't give them permission to come on in, the instant Israel crosses that Syrian border, it's an act of war against Syria. The belligerence is definitely going up, alarmingly so. I'm very concerned about the Christmas New Year holiday, that something might be done to try and say, oh, feel sorry for Israel, feel sorry for Israel. And by the way, on the cable channels going around the cable box last night, Hitler, Third Reich, you know, the missing Nazi gold train treasured things all over the place. Every time corporate media loads us up with the Nazi stuff, Israel's getting ready to do something icky here. Now, Jewish Voice for Peace has targeted CNN over the firing of Dr. Mark Lamont Hill for having defended Palestinian rights. And apparently they took out this ad in the Sunday edition of the Atlantic Journal-Constitution that reaches almost 1 million people. And the ad, of course, was chastising the network. Now, this is the paper of record in CNN's hometown. And this was a powerful message in support of Professor Hill and in protest of his firing. Now, if you remember, CNN fired Hill after he spoke not at CNN, but at the United Nations in defense of Palestinian rights as part of the UN-organized International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people. Perfect venue, right on topic. And apparently, pro-Israel supporters got really upset and called up CNN and said, you fire this guy. And CNN said, yes, massa. Yes, massa. I will fire. Yes, he's gone. He's gone out here. That'll teach him. Well, maybe, maybe not. It's not like he spent all that much time at CNN. It was just an occasional thing. His main job, of course, is as a teacher. And as you know, that along with attacking pressuring CNN to fire him, Israel supporters were putting pressure on Temple University in Philadelphia, where Lamont Hill is professor of media studies. And they said, you fire him, you fire him. And Temple University, to their credit, said, no, we are not going to fire him. And so this was a major setback and a blow to the pro-Israel lobby's efforts to weaponize anti-Semitism. Basically turn it into something to destroy people's lives with, for daring to speak out against Israel. Interesting comment from Information Clearinghouse pointing out, the movement to suppress and impoverish critics of Israel is at its heart racist. And they go down the list of all these academics, Mark Lamont Hill, Tim Anderson, Stephen Salaita, Rabab Abdelhadi, Haram Bazian, Alam Matasib, Norman Finkelstein, other academics, have all been targets of the movement to silence criticism of Israel or defense of Palestinians. And this involves like threats, legal actions, trying to deny them employment, violating their free speech rights. In fact, Salaita and Finkelstein were in fact denied employment to the great detriment of their entire career. Hill and Anderson are currently defending themselves from this threat. Now, these accusers are invariably Zionist, pro-Zionist individuals and institutions. Their backers include the Israeli government, which coordinates the movement through its Ministry of Strategic Affairs, the Israel lobby in the U.S., U.K., France, Australia, and other countries, and the major Jewish Zionist billionaire funders such as Sheldon Adelson, Chaim Saban, Bernard Marcus, and others. It's terror tactics. It's brown shirt stuff. Okay, we have a caller on the line. James in Michigan, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I just wanted to ask you about that comment you made earlier about crisis actors and regarding Khashoggi. Can you expand a little bit on that?
No, I just said I received an email that was basically, you know, ragging on Khashoggi and calling him a crisis actor and saying we don't want to see this guy anymore, which sounds to me like somebody who wanted to be Time's Person of the Year is feeling the sour grapes.
Oh, really? Well, I coincidentally posted something on your site today or yesterday or so calling the guy a crisis actor, and I really do believe it's a 100% hoax. Everybody that's behind this story is the same people that are behind the Russian collusion hoax. Michael Isikoff and CNN people and Washington Post. And I remember you saying that your thought, the evidence that it was true, was that the wife said that he was missing. Well, it turns out he has five wives. And this one just kind of popped up 6 months ago.
So, well, again, here's the whole thing. When this first happened, I wondered if this was some kind of an operation to pressure Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman out of power, because there's a little bit of a palace coup underway. A lot of people do not like him. But right now, Donald Trump continues to have his back. And I think because Khashoggi was a writer for The Washington Post, may have biased Time's opinion on that. Anyway, thank you for the phone call. We're going to let you go. And getting on back to the news here, here's a very interesting little article. This came out of Blacklisted News, and it's a very thoughtful, careful analysis of the U.S. approach to Iran for the last 40 years and the constant threats of war, all options on the table, the U.S. Instigating instability inside Iran. Remember, they tried to have another color revolution back in 2009. And the article basically goes back and says what this is all about is that from 1953, when the CIA kicked out Iran's legitimate government under Mohammad Mossadegh, until 1979, when there was the Iranian Revolution, the United States had a great deal in Iran. They were getting cheap oil, so was Great Britain. Iran was buying all kinds of weapons from the United States, from General Dynamics, Lockheed, Northrop. He was also part of Eisenhower's Atoms for Peace program. And in fact, I've got a scan of a full-page ad saying, look who's now in favor of nuclear power, which was being put on out there because the American public was still not really sure that nuclear power was going to be safe, and there was this propaganda campaign. Well, then in 1979, of course, there was the Iranian Revolution, and the Shah was kicked out. And it came as a shock to the American people because the corporate media, even back then, was propagandizing us that the Shah of Iran was loved by the people of Iran, that he was popular. And with that went Iran as a weapons customer, and Iran's oil went back up to the fair market value. And the U.S. is basically throwing a tantrum. And whatever agenda other countries like Israel may have, what the U.S. is effectively wants to do is drag Iran back to being under a new Shah. And I understand the son of the Shah of Iran is still out there somewhere, dreaming of the day that he can sit on the peacock throne. Anyway, over in Great Britain, General Sir Nick Carter has warned that the Great Britain must prepare for all-out war against Russia, China, and Iran. I hope he doesn't mean all at the same time. But he was out there saying that Russia, China, Iran, and sadistic terrorist organizations like ISIS are a colossal threat toward the United Kingdom. And he said Britain's security, stability, and prosperity are being challenged by the ambitious super states. This from the former seat of the British Empire, on which the sun never sat, I would like to point out. And basically, in his first lecture as chief of the defense staff at the Royal United Services Institute, Russia and China had studied our strength and invested carefully in new methods and capabilities designed to exploit weaknesses. Well, yeah, that's what you do. If you are seriously thinking that you're going to have to go up against somebody, you look at what they've got. Go back to Sun Tzu, The Art of War. You attack your enemy where they're the weakest. And this guy is acting like, you know, how dastardly they're looking for our weaknesses to exploit them. That's how wars get fought. I would have thought the British would have learned that back in 1776 when they kept insisting on marching line-ahead formations into the American militia who were hiding behind rocks and trees and shooting. That was Britain's downfall. They had modern firearms, but they still organized their armies on the model going all the way back to ancient Rome. Over in Yemen, along with all the other problems they're dealing with, cholera, war from the Saudis, extreme poverty, apparently suicide rates are soaring because they are so poor, they're killing themselves before the hunger does. Yemen is an absolute tragedy. It is a stain on the reputation, not just of Saudi Arabia, but of the United States that enables this. Okay, over in the South China Sea, a senior Chinese military official, Dai Xu, has threatened the U.S. Navy vessels, recommending that China should attack the ships. Meanwhile, the U.S. Air Force has ran their annual joint forcible entry drill in the night skies over the U.S. on Sunday, one day after the comments. I wonder what all those migrant hordes down there on the ground were thinking when all those planes flew overhead. The U.S. has thrown more sanctions on North Korea based on human rights, while Donald Trump is floating a second summit. And I got to be very honest, I think Trump's approach to China, in fact, to all of the Asian nations, is doomed to fail. And maybe that's what they really want. They want to be able to look like, hey, we tried to make a deal. We really worked so hard to try and come to a peaceful resolution where they just do what we tell them to do. But no, they just had to go and say no. So off to war. We got to take a break for commercials and we'll be right back.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. L5.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. In a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're talking about Korea. We're talking about, you know, this, to me, rather ham-fisted approach of throwing more sanctions on North Korea. At the same time, you're trying to talk them into surrendering more of their weapons of deterrence here. And apparently, the United States is now resisting calls from the United Nations to provide humanitarian aid to North Korea. And the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs said that $111 million is needed to fund humanitarian efforts in North Korea next year. And in response, a State Department spokesman said that North Korea can take care of their own humanitarian needs. All they have to do is stop building nuclear missiles and, long-range missiles and nuclear bombs here. And we promise we won't invade. They give up all their weapons of deterrence. We promise we'll leave them alone. Honest. Okay. Last Thursday, there was a tweet that had a photo of a combat aircraft that resembled a fifth-generation Chinese fighter jet taken at the Savannah Hilton Head International Airport, which is a commercial and military use airport in Savannah, Georgia. And, of course, it went viral, and there were all kinds of wild theories about why a Chinese stealth jet was parked on the tarmac of a Georgia military base. It turns out the aircraft is not real. It's a mock-up for use by the U.S. Marine Corps. Anyway, up in Afghanistan, Afghan forces have abandoned a remote district in the west of the country, leaving the area to Taliban insurgents. They're not really insurgents. They used to be the government, before the U.S. invasion. Notice how they use that word. They're insurgents. No, they just want their country back. Apparently, the problem was that the Afghan government, the installed puppet government, had failed to resupply the forces who were stationed there. The supply chain broke down. Now, the Taliban are, to be very honest, they're winning. At the end of 2001, they were all but eradicated, and now, as the story illustrates, they're taking back Afghanistan one bit at a time. So let's talk now about the Afghan opium, because under the Taliban, the opium cultivation had been eradicated. You were caught with a poppy, they'd take your hand off. Draconian, but it worked. As soon as the U.S. invaded, the poppies were blooming and cheap heroin was flooding the streets of the United States of America, opium going into the pharmaceutical companies, which has in turn led to this opiate crisis of people who trust their doctors being addicted. And people have said, why don't you stop the opium farmers over there? More about this after station identification.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.